Hello and welcome to the Women's Hour. I'm Kelly Pyle, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. Today's show features articles from the December 2nd issue of People and the December issue of Real Simple. Some of the articles I will share today include Jelly Roll is on Top of the World, 5 Financial Moves to Make Before 2025, and Injectables 101. Jelly Roll is on top of the world and plans to stay there. With his difficult past now behind him, the country star gets candid about his unlikely road to stardom. By Rachel DeSantis, photographs by Peter Yang. This is a People magazine exclusive. It's 4 hours before showtime at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, and Jelly Roll has the water boy playing in his green room. Bobby Boucher, baby, he says, referring to Adam Sandler's character in the 1998 comedy, one of the greatest movies ever made. Jelly is, of course, a country singer, worlds away from a football water boy turned celebrated linebacker. But perhaps he sees in Boucher a kindred spirit. After all, they've both enjoyed a redemption arc for the ages, defying the odds to become major stars. And right now, there are few stars shining brighter than Jelly Roll, who's mined a complicated life riddled with addiction and incarceration for life-affirming songs that fans say make them feel heard, sometimes for the first time. This started as me just kind of venting and telling my story until I realized that I was telling the stories of tens of millions of Americans, he says. This is so much bigger than my story. If the accolades Jelly, 39, has amassed are any indication of his reach, he's right. In the past 3 months alone, the star, currently on a North American arena tour, released Beautifully Broken, his first number one album, earned 3 Country Music Association Award nominations, including Entertainer of the Year, ushered in Saturday Night Live's 50th season as musical guest, and notched 2 Grammy nominations. Then there are the personal wins, like fatherhood, his thriving marriage to wife Bunny XO, and his recent 110-pound weight loss. A TikTok he posted on September 28th while en route to SNL with a police escort after playing the Global Citizen Festival about sums it up. This is the most insane it's ever been, he says, laughing. What the F is happening in my life right now, y'all? It's been a long way to the top for Jelly, who was born Jason DeFord in Antioch, Tennessee, and got his nickname from his mom when he was a kid. He credits his family with helping him develop a wide-ranging taste in music. I never controlled the radio, he says. And in 2003, he began pursuing a hip-hop career, dropping a number of mixtapes and independent records. But an addiction battle and brushes with the law overshadowed his art. After his first arrest at age 14, Jelly was in and out of jail some 40 times across 10 years, on charges ranging from aggravated robbery to possession with the intent to sell cocaine. A turning point finally came in 2008, the year before he was released for good, when his daughter Bailey was born while he was behind bars. The 2020 release of the song Save Me marked his entry into country music and introduced the world to a new, unguarded Jelly, one desperately seeking salvation for his sins. I wasn't sure how receptive people would be of me with that kind of vulnerability, he reflects. I hadn't heard it much in music. Nashville welcomed him. By 2022, he'd released what would become his first number one country single, Son of a Sinner. The next year, he dropped his first record in the genre, Whitsitt Chapel. I was never afraid of not making it. I'm petrified of losing it. That's the pressure I feel, he says. I quit looking at myself as an entertainer. I realized we're here to serve. That's the thought when I write, when I perform, when we go feed the homeless, when we go talk to kids at juvenile detention centers or jail. We just want to be a good steward with what we got. Still, the warm reception Jelly's received can be mind-blowing. I'm nominated in a category with people that I was watching win CMAs on TV when I was incarcerated, he says. That's crazy. His ascent has been complicated, as his emotions often vacillate between feeling awkwardly uncomfortable or a little overcomfortable, he says. I still feel like that kid from Antioch more often than I don't. I might be famous in Antioch, but Eminem's my friend. I'm not famous. I have famous friends. I look at it from that lens. Then there's the matter of reconciling with his past. But Jelly, who gave up hard drugs on his own and sticks to alcohol and marijuana in moderation these days, says he's close to finding peace. I'm rounding third on my amends list, and I think when I get there, I'll feel a little better. I was hitting some stone walls with people that wouldn't forgive me, and I was like, God, maybe this has something to do with the fact that I haven't forgiven myself either, Jelly says. I brush over 10, 12, 15 years of living an extremely crazy, narcissistic, selfish lifestyle in a two-second sentence in an interview. The truth is, there was a lot of pain in there. I hurt a lot of people. No matter how much I've changed, they still watch and are mad that I'm successful. I understand that, but I'm doing better at letting go of the past and realizing that I don't owe that part of me anything. His wife, Bunny, real name Alyssa, whom he married in 2016, is helping him focus on a brighter future. I prioritize family, and that's what anchors me, Jelly says of Bunny, whose Dumb Blonde podcast has earned her a dedicated fan base of her own. Bailey, 16, and his son Noah, 8, from previous relationships, are also pillars of support. Everything that I believe is going right for me is in the fact that I'm pretty grounded in my family, he adds. Bunny and Jelly never spend more than 2 weeks apart, and they recently implemented the same rule with Bailey, who joins her dad on tour every other weekend. They really are Mama Bear and Papa Bear, says Jelly's stylist, Krista Roser. They both have such good energy. Bailey is now the same age Jelly was when he made the decisions that would nearly derail his life. She's totally ahead, he says. When I look at what she does that I consider horrible, I look back at what I was doing at 16, and I'm like, oh man. When I'm hard on her about stuff or a little pushy, she knows it's from love. Next year, Jelly will embark on his first Canadian tour. It's a big deal for the star, whose felonies had until recently prevented him from playing internationally. He's excited to make physical contact with his fans abroad. Jelly likes walking through the audiences of thousands each night to touch the fans who overwhelm him in a good way when they tell him that his song played at a loved one's funeral or he inspired them to get sober. He says philanthropy is the legacy he hopes to leave behind, and recently raised more than $1 million from pre-orders of his latest album, which he donated to 4 different charities. He's just such an inspiration. I don't think there's a more deserving superstar, says Ernest, the mononymous country artist who co-wrote Son of a Sinner with Jelly and is open for him on tour. He truly believes in giving back. Though Jelly jokes that it'll take a few more albums for him to write a completely hopeful record, he's more optimistic now and happy to let things, well, roll. An old dude in jail once told me, if you want to find a pearl, you've got to shuck a bunch of oysters, he says. So if the world's my oyster, I'm going to keep shucking and finding pearls, baby. Honey Bunny, Jelly says every successful thing in my life happened through his being more present in his family. He met his wife Bunny at one of his concerts in 2015. Proud Dad, my entire support system is in my family, says Jelly, about Bailey and Noah, his kids. His health and fitness journey. Down 110 pounds since January, Jelly, who stays fit on tour by playing basketball with his crew, is just getting started. The battle was with the food addiction, changing the way I've looked at food for the last 39 years, says the star, who completed a 5K in May. I've never had a healthy relationship with food, so that was the hard part. But once you get into that discipline and commitment, it's like an avalanche. 5 songs that changed my life. Number 1, Against the Wind by Bob Seger. That song has met me where I am at every point in my life. It makes me feel as emotional at 39 as I felt at 14. Number 2, Voice of Truth by Casting Crowns. It's helped me the last couple weeks for something I'm fighting personally. It's about listening to Jesus. Number 3, Mr. Tambourine Man by Bob Dylan. For obvious reasons, I think I find myself in the role of the tambourine man more often than I don't. Number 4, All Along the Watchtower by Bob Dylan. I'm such a fan of poetry and songs that are written from that perspective. I prefer the Jimi Hendrix recording of it. Number 5, Fire and Rain by James Taylor. What a beautiful way to tell such a tragic story. Every song I ever wrote, I tried to write how he writes. You've been listening to a People Magazine exclusive. Jelly Roll is on top of the world and plans to stay there. People Magazine picks the buzz on what to watch, read, and listen to this week. Edited by Tom Gliotto. Tom has been reviewing for People since 2005. Wicked in theaters. This spectacular adaptation of the Broadway hit is awesome. Musical. Wicked is the cinematic equivalent of the tornado from The Wizard of Oz, a massive and impressive force that transports anyone in its path to a magical place filled with singing, dancing, and a certain green-skinned character. In Oz, she was the Wicked Witch of the West, a cackling villain determined to destroy Kansan interloper Dorothy. In director John M. Chu's prequel, An Origin Story, based on the long-running Broadway musical that opened in 2003, she's Elphaba Thropp, Cynthia Erivo, a shy, misunderstood young woman born with special powers and a viridescent tone. An outcast, she carries a quiet pain that the excellent, affecting Erivo can convey with just a simple look. At Shiz University, she meets an opposingly iridescent, aspiring sorceress and future good witch named Glinda. Pop star Ariana Grande, whose voice has never sounded better while she belts out songs like Popular. The complicated relationship between this Aussie and odd couple serves as the backbone of the movie, which involves a nefarious plot to silence the talking animals of Oz, one of whom, a goat voiced by Peter Dinklage, is a beloved instructor at Shiz. As any theater nerd can attest, the success of Wicked relies on the chemistry between its two leads, and Grande and Erivo go together like the film's pink and green color scheme. But Grande, in the showier role as the perky, plucky Glinda, owns the movie with her hair flips and humorous hubris. Imagine if Elle Woods from Legally Blonde aspired to sorcery instead of law school, and had a 4-octave range to boot. The star-studded supporting cast includes a deliciously oily Jeff Goldblum as the smooth-talking Wizard of Oz, and Michelle Yeoh as Elphaba's mysterious mentor, Madame Morrible, the headmistress of Shiz University. Oscar winner Yeoh brings a regal presence to the role, but unfortunately not enough vocal prowess, which is all the more evident when she sings with Erivo. Though the events of the movie cover only the play's first act, Part 2 hits the theaters on November 21st, 2025. The running time is still around 2 hours 40 minutes, which is about the length of the entire Broadway show. So be sure to hit the loo before venturing down this yellow brick road. November 22nd, PG, review by Eric Anderson. Gladiator 2, in theaters. Director Ridley Scott returns to Rome's Colosseum in a sequel that notches up the action and the intrigue. Action. It's been nearly 25 years since director Ridley Scott made sword and sandal epics popular again with his Oscar-winning Gladiator. That 2000 blockbuster boasted a muscular and commanding Russell Crowe as former Roman general Maximus, who exacted revenge in the Colosseum against those who'd enslaved him. Crowe doesn't return for this long-anticipated follow-up. His character died in the original. But his character still looms large in Gladiator II, which stars Paul Mescal as Lucius, Maximus's son with Lucilla, Connie Nielsen making a welcoming return. Lucius's life takes on a similar trajectory to his late father's when he's enslaved and forced into battle as a gladiator. Scott follows the sequel rulebook by adding more stars to the mix. Of the newcomers, Denzel Washington is the scene-stealing highlight as Macrinus, a social climber who will stop at nothing to control Rome, and upping the ante considerably. Opening with a massive sea and land battle, Gladiator II sees Mescal's Lucius taking on killer rhinos and man-eating sharks in the Colosseum. Yes, you read that correctly. You'll be entertained. November 22nd, rated R, by Nigel Smith. This has been People Magazine Picks, the buzz on what to watch, read, and listen to this week. Sean Ono Lennon, Grief, Music, and Preserving My Father's Legacy. The Beatles' son reveals how he reconnected with his late father through his music and newly unearthed tapes. By Jordan Rontag, this is a People Magazine exclusive. The Beatles may be part of our cultural DNA, but for Sean Ono Lennon, their songs are the key to understanding his actual DNA. Learning to play guitar through those tracks was an act of communion, every strum bringing him closer to his father, John Lennon, who was killed in December 1980. John was 40, Sean was 5. "I never played music because I was good at it," he says. "I lost my father, and I didn't know how to fill that void. Learning how to play his songs on guitar was a way to process the loss with an activity that made me feel connected to him. Making music always makes me feel like I was getting to know him better." Now 49, Sean has spent the past 3 decades building a rich career as an accomplished artist in his own right through a string of acclaimed solo records and inventive musical projects. In recent years, after his mother, Yoko Ono, 91, stepped back from public life and retired to the rural estate she purchased with John in 1978, Sean has assumed the role of managing his family's singular musical legacy. Far more than just an administrative figure, he channels his formidable creative energy into crafting innovative ways to present his parents' timeless art to new generations. Under his leadership, a proposed new music video for the Yuletide peace anthem, "Happy Xmas, War is Over," morphed into the deeply moving 11-minute animated short, "War is Over," which earned an Academy Award in March. Sean took the opportunity to wish Ono a happy UK Mother's Day at the podium. "A lot of people thought I was being overly ambitious," Sean, who co-developed the story, sheepishly admits, "and I thought I might as well, but then we won an Oscar." The archival activity continued this summer with a lavish reissue of John's 1973 album, Mind Games. Part fine art, part time capsule, the collection boasts revealing remixes produced by Sean himself, plus a treasure trove of puzzles, maps, replica art pieces, and a coffee table book, all in a 40-pound, 13-inch cube. The project, which earned him a Grammy nod, has revolutionized the very notion of reissues. "The initial concept was mind games, games of the mind," says Sean, "so I thought we would play with people's minds a bit." Many of the objects contained in the set are things he remembers seeing around the family home, which reflected his parents' unorthodox worldview. Palmistry prints, I Ching coins, and stroboscopic meditation goggles. There's all sorts of things that reflect the way that they were thinking at the time, which was very cosmic, to put it mildly. Ono, he says, remains an unusually devout disciple of tarot, astrology, and numerology. "You could argue she's a good witch," he says, laughing. "I was raised with so much of this cosmic woo-woo stuff that I rebelled against it. I'd say, 'Mom, can we do just something without worrying about what the tarot cards say?'" Despite an inclination towards science and rational thinking, Sean still feels a pull towards the mystical, describing it as his version of Catholic guilt. "No matter how much I try to reject supernatural thinking, I secretly do believe all that stuff might be real." Ono is a quiet yet strong presence on Mind Games. The songs bear traces of her playful conceptual art, most notably the Natopian National Anthem, which consists of 3 seconds of silence. In the session tapes, Ono can be heard alongside John in the studio offering feedback, evidence that she was John's inspiration and a collaborator every bit his equal. While the couple briefly separated after the record's release, the ardent lyrics on Mind Games could only come from the open heart of a deeply devoted husband. I was born just to get to you, any way I survived, long enough to make you my wife, he sings on Out of the Blue. Says Sean, the whole album is about my mom. My dad declared to the world that John and Yoko were one word. I think he always had his heart set on her. He was so in love with her. They had a legendary love, and this album is infused with that love. For Sean, overseeing these projects transcends family duty. Sifting through the archive helps him make a mosaic of the man he barely got to know from the work he left behind. You're constructing somebody out of fragments, Sean explains. Listening to the raw session tapes is tantamount to time travel, as John, who was also dad to son Julian, 61, from his first marriage, can be heard making jokes and comments to his fellow musicians. I grew up mostly knowing my dad through pictures and recordings because he wasn't around, Sean says. So whenever I hear my dad saying anything that I haven't heard before, even just a little moment, it's precious. It's like getting more time with him. Like many who've lost loved ones, Sean finds echoes of his father in unexpected places. These moments are a sweet source of comfort. Once, while he was on vacation in Jamaica, his dad paid him a cosmic visit. Sean turned the key in his rental Jeep, only to hear a familiar voice speaking through the radio. The second it came on, I hear, "Darling, darling, darling, darling Sean." It was the fade out of Beautiful Boy, the tropical tinged lullaby John recorded for Sean months before his death. It was so weird. What are the chances? I'll never forget that. Again, I struggle with my own superstition. Obviously, I admit that it's probably not magical, but it really felt like it was. A labor of love, Sean describes the expansive Mind Games box set as a monument to a masterpiece. The multimedia nature of its contents harkens back to an idea he learned from his mother. She showed me that art is conceptual, Sean says of Ono. It doesn't matter what medium you express yourself in, because it starts in your mind. The United States versus John Lennon. The 1973 sessions for Mind Games were marred by harassment from then President Richard Nixon, who saw Lennon and Ono's anti-war activism as a threat. Nixon was trying to deport them, says Sean. The FBI were tailing them and tapping their phones. It was terrifying. Declassified documents reveal the government was conspiring to have John arrested on phony drug charges. After years of legal battles, John won the right to stay in the U.S. in 1975, 2 days before Sean's birth. You have been listening to Sean Ono Lennon, Grief, Music, and Preserving My Father's Legacy, from People Magazine. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer broadcaster, Kelly Pyle, and this is the Women's Hour. Kate's emotional return. Princess Kate's gradual step back into royal duties with Prince William by her side underscores their unspoken strength and immense personal challenges. By Simon Perry, from People magazine. When Princess Kate and Prince William arrived at London's Royal Albert Hall on November 9th, camera flashes lit up the night sky, illuminating a rare glimpse of the couple's quiet intimacy. Throughout the Festival of Remembrance that evening, William placed his hand on the small of Kate's back, a subtle yet comforting gesture he repeated as they moved through the crowd. In response, Kate mirrored his touch, underscoring their close connection. It was solicitous and protective in a very understandable way, observes royal biographer Sally Bettel Smith. She was going into a big event where she was going to be on display. There was an element of reassurance in the way he was behaving. For good reason. The Prince and Princess of Wales, both 42, have weathered the hardest period in their lives following Kate's cancer diagnosis earlier this year. After months of treatment, she announced the end of her chemotherapy in September. William shared an update on his wife's recovery while in Cape Town, South Africa, just days before their joint appearance, saying, "She is doing really well." Having faced the dual challenges of Kate's health crisis and his father King Charles's cancer diagnosis, William reflected on the toll. "It's been dreadful. It's probably been the hardest year in my life. But I'm so proud of my wife. I'm proud of my father for handling the things that they have done. But from a personal family point of view, it's been brutal." Kate's appearance at the Festival of Remembrance marked her first major outing alongside the royal family since completing chemotherapy, and it was the first of two consecutive events dedicated to honoring Britain's wartime sacrifices. The following day's service to mark Remembrance Sunday at the Cenotaph War Memorial carried a more somber tone, with the royal family gathering to support Charles, 75, as he led the nation in honoring the fallen. When she took her place on the balcony, Kate exchanged a small smile with Sophie, Duchess of Edinburgh, to her left, before looking down in quiet contemplation. With Queen Camilla, 77, absent because of a chest infection, she stayed home to avoid worsening her condition and potentially spreading it to Charles and Kate. The princess naturally became even more the focal point, Bedell Smith observes. Notes Ailsa Anderson, former press secretary to the late Queen Elizabeth, "It would have been a comfort for William to have her there, and for the children to see her supporting their father." As the service concluded with "God Save the King," Kate turned to head inside. Sophie, 59, placed a gentle hand on her back, both to honor the protocol allowing the princess to exit first, and as a subtle gesture of family support. For Kate, rejoining these traditions helps her reconnect with the rhythm of her royal life as she balances recovery with caring for the couple's three children, Prince George, 11, Princess Charlotte, 9, and Prince Louis, 6. When your life has been thrown into a tailspin, these events help make you think, both mentally and physically, that I am on the road to getting better, Anderson adds Bedell Smith. "It was vital, symbolically and practically, for people to see her there as future queen. You can't say she is back, but she is on her way back." William's royal reboot. Prince William made a bold statement on the green carpet at the Earthshot Prize Awards in Cape Town on November 6th, sporting biodegradable sneakers from Earthshot finalist Purified, new facial hair, and a Papa bracelet from daughter Charlotte. Though he appeared laid back, he later said, "I couldn't be less relaxed this year." Channeling his late grandmother, Queen Elizabeth's steadfast approach to duty in the face of adversity, he added, "It's more a case of just crack on and you've got to keep going." During his four-day South Africa visit, William spotlighted his Earthshot Prize initiative, which awards $1.3 million to each of five winners for groundbreaking environmental projects. He met with President Cyril Ramaphosa and young environmental leaders and supported conservation efforts. Joined by Earthshot ambassadors Robert Irwin, son of the late crocodile hunter Steve Irwin, and Nomzamo Mbatha, William inspired young people. "He's the coolest guy," Irwin says. "He's focused on making the next generation enthusiastic about change." Of his evolving approach to his royal duties, William said, "I'm trying to do it differently for my generation. I'm doing it with maybe a smaller R in royal. I think we could do with some more empathetic leadership around the world." You have been listening to Kate's Emotional Return from People Magazine. Smart Money: 5 Financial Moves to Make Before 2025. Don't Drop the Ball Ahead of the Ball Drop, by Magdalena Punuska from Real Simple Magazine. Holiday budgeting may be getting all the airtime right now, but this is also a good moment to do a little end-of-year financial housekeeping. By December, you have the benefit of seeing how everything hashed out for you over the year and where you can make cuts or bump up savings, says Linda Rogers, a certified financial planner and the founder of Planning Within Reach in San Diego. Plus, a lot of financial tasks have strict end-of-year deadlines, and you'll want to make those because you won't get a do-over. So grab a pocket of time here and there to find savings, get things buttoned up, and take advantage of perks before they expire at the stroke of midnight. Check your interest rates. Look up what you're earning on your savings accounts because you could be missing out on free money. I'm still surprised at how many people are only earning 0.01% on their balance, Rogers says, adding that some banks currently offer 4% to 5%. You can compare the going rates at various institutions at bankrate.com. Switch to a more competitive high-yield account if you don't already have one. Don't stop there. Check your lines of credit, too. Many debts, including credit cards, have variable interest rates, so if you haven't seen your numbers in a while, they might not be what you remember, says Kylie Lipinski, a financial trainer at the Financial Gym in Washington, D.C. Credit card companies can adjust their annual percentage rates within 45 days' notice, and APRs may spike after an introductory offer ends, or if you're 2 months late on payments. Other debts that you may have variable interest rates are home equity lines of credit, personal loans, certain mortgages, and private student loans. Make a list of all your debts and their rates. This may prompt you to switch up your financial game plan. For example, you might refinance a loan or consolidate debt if you qualify for a lower APR, Lipinski says. Look at your fixed rates too. You may be able to refinance if your credit has improved, Rogers says. Review your retirement funds. Good news, you are now 1 year closer to retiring. even if it feels like it'll be ages before you hang up your work badge, you've got to do some regular check-ins on these accounts. Here's what to do if you have a 401k. The maximum contribution amount this year is a cool $23,000, or $30,500 if you're 50 or over, and it has to be met by December 31st. Hit the max if you can swing it, not only because your contribution will lower your tax bill, Rogers says, but because the power of compound interest helps your nest egg grow faster. And your employer may offer a match, which can really add up. Let's say you're 45 with an annual income of $100,000. If your employer offers a 100% match on the first 3% you contribute every year, in other words, you save $3,000 and they give you an additional $3,000, your company will have earned you almost $165,000 by the time you're 70. Note, this math is assuming your retirement account has an annual return of 6%. You have an IRA. The deadline is April 15th, 2025, to meet the 2024 contribution max of $7,000 if you're under 50, and $8,000 if you're 50 or over. Not quite saving enough? Try the sneaky sneak up to get to the finish line, courtesy of Ashley Feinstein Gertzley, a certified financial planner and the founder of the Fiscal Femme, an online resource that helps with financial well-being. As soon as you can, increase your contribution by just 1% and gradually build up. Next thing you know, you're contributing much more than you expected, and it didn't feel too painful, she explains. If you're currently setting aside 5% per paycheck, up it to 6%, then after 6 weeks or so, to 7%, and so on. In about 6 months, you'll double your contributions. Even if you don't max out these accounts, your contributions can lower your taxable income this year. So do as much as you can. You're already retired and over 73. The government actually wants you to take your money back. In fact, there's a required annual minimum you must pull from your retirement accounts. If you don't, you could end up with penalties on your hard-earned cash to the tune of 25% tax on your distributions. Search for required minimum distribution worksheets on irs.gov to figure out how much you should withdraw. Use your health care benefits. Most of us with health insurance spend plenty of time worrying about our deductibles, the amount you pay out of pocket before your insurance kicks in. If you've hit yours, congrats. Now that you'll be paying less for healthcare expenses, try to squeeze in doctor's appointments, vaccinations, procedures, and tests you've been putting off, Roger says. Surprisingly, many types of doctors are the least busy in November and December, according to a 2023 ZocDoc analysis of millions of appointments made through their website. So booking a time slot may be easy. If you have one, check in on your flexible spending account, FSA, which lets employees set pre-tax money aside to pay for qualified medical and dental expenses. Many accounts either don't roll over at all or just offer a short grace period the following year to spend the remaining funds, so act fast. In 2022, about 50% of workers who contributed to an FSA forfeited an average of $441, according to a report published this year from the Employee Benefit Research Institute. Get in. your end of year doctor's appointments, fill any prescriptions you have, and even stock up on over-the-counter medications or medicine cabinet staples like bandages and sunscreen, Lipinski says. Also FSA eligible, dental and vision expenses, and in some cases massages if a doctor prescribes them for an injury or chronic pain. If you felt you had more cash than you could burn through, set a calendar reminder to adjust your FSA contributions during the next open enrollment period. And know that health savings accounts, or HSAs, don't come with an end-of-the-year deadline, so the pre-tax money can be used anytime. Set up a spending fund. Squirreling some green away for future purposes can ease the pain when it's time to pay for important expenses or even miscellaneous fun things, Feinstein Gersley says. These reserves, typically called sinking funds, are different from emergency funds because the goal is to inevitably spend the money, she says, explaining that she has one set up for her taxes, her kids' camp, and her dog's vet bills. To start, think about possible significant purchases you'd like to make next year. Then, funnel some cash into one account and track how you'll spend it by way of a spreadsheet, notes app, or good old pen and paper. You could also open up a savings account for each goal, but Feinstein Gersley suggests capping it at 3 for the sake of streamlining things. And because the holidays can sneak up on you, how is it December again? Feinstein Gersley advises setting up an account now for December 2025 gifts. Stash that dough in a high-yield savings account with no minimum balance to earn additional income. Bonus, keeping it separate like this can prevent you from dipping into the funds earlier. Audit your cash flow. This one requires a little more time and energy, so if you're short on either, put a pin in it till January. But definitely, do it ASAP. Many of us have no idea where our money is going, Feinstein Gersley says. When you comb through your expenses and tally them up, you can easily see if you're overspending or underspending in certain categories. The best part is you don't have to make a complicated spreadsheet. May we suggest using the YNAB app, which stands for You Need a Budget, and was one of the 2024 Smart Money Award winners. Once you get a sense of what 2024 was like, apply your learnings to 2025. What expenses will look similar or different? Do you want to scale down in some way? Make some upgrades? Only you can decide, and only with some sort of baseline. Happy mathing, Happy New Year. You've been listening to 5 financial moves to make before 2025 from Real Simple. Injectables 101, a pinch of info to help determine which poke, if any, is for you. By Heather Mir Matai. This is from Real Simple Magazine. We're aging and we're grateful for it. If you love your lines, skip this story. If you're ready for something more serious than skincare, read every word. With more than 25 years of experience, Ellen Marmer, MD, creator of MM Skincare, and founder of Marmer Medical in New York City, walks us through 3 popular injectables. The most important part is finding a board-certified dermatologist who understands all the muscles that make up the puzzle of your face, she says. Go to find-a-derm.aad.org to pinpoint a qualified MD near you. and feel free to bring these pages with you to your appointment. Neuromodulator, what it is. A live toxin called botulinum that is injected in tiny amounts to block muscles in your face that create wrinkles, Marmer explains. Brands that are FDA approved include Botox, the original with the longest track record, Dysport Daxxify, which Marmer says tends to last the longest, Xeomin, which has fewer additives than the others, and Juvo. They're all pretty similar, and the one used will depend on your derm's preference. What it does: smooths wrinkles so you look younger and more relaxed. What you might consider: if you have dynamic wrinkles, meaning they appear when you're expressing, it will soften them. If your parents have deep wrinkles, getting Botox can help prevent them in your own face. And if you clench your jaw muscles, it can help ease that too, she says. What it feels like: a little pinch. Aftercare: avoid lying face down for a few hours. How long it lasts: around 3 to 4 months. Cost: $400 to $500 per area. Pro tip: I do a lot of one-dot tox, just one injection in a single area, and you can take baby steps, Marmer says. Look in the mirror with your derm and talk about what bothers you. Then they can help you prioritize. You're the boss, and you should be 2,000% psyched about doing something. Hyaluronic acid filler. What it is: hyaluronic acid is a molecule that acts as a tiny sponge, and its whole job is to pull water to the sponge, Marmer says. When you inject it into the skin, it draws the body's natural water to it and plumps up the space that's been lost due to aging. Picture a dry raisin turning into a grape. It can also add volume to places that never had it, like the chin. Options include RHA4, which is great for a cheekbone pop and jawline definition. Restylane Lift, which is Marmer's desert island filler, because it works anywhere on the face, and Bilotero, which helps erase lines and won't bulk you up. What it does: it plumps lips and cheeks, which flatten with age, and reduces laugh lines, Marmer says. When it's injected high into the cheekbone, it adds a glow and supports the under eye area, and it can balance out the chin. Why you might consider it? You have wrinkles at rest. What it feels like? Pressure or fullness. Numbing cream can be applied beforehand and ice helps afterward. Aftercare: skip excessive heat from baths and hot yoga for a few days after treatment to minimize bruising. How long it lasts? About 9 to 12 months, Marmer says, adding that it's reversible. If you don't like it, you can have it dissolved. Cost: $900 to $1,500 per syringe. Pro tip: 3 to 4 days prior, avoid vitamin B, fish oil, aspirin, ibuprofen, and alcohol, which can increase bruising, she says. And ask for a cannula, a soft tip needle. It's more comfortable, and you reduce the risk of bruising. Platelet-rich plasma therapy. What it is: platelet-rich plasma is the chicken soup in your body, Marmer says. This is a treatment done with your own blood. We draw blood out of your arm, then we take out the red blood cells, which are your growth factors, and we inject those back into your skin or scalp. What it does: it can stimulate cell repair and help boost collagen and elastin production. I inject it under my eyes to help with dark circles, in the jawline and laugh lines to tighten, and in the scalp to jolt hair growth. why you might consider it? You want an alternative to filler, or you have a thinning scalp. What it feels like. In the scalp, it's like getting little mosquito bites. On the skin, you could feel a sting from the tiny injections. Aftercare. You may have redness and swelling for about 3 days. How long it lasts? About 6 months or so. Cost, around $1,500 to $2,000. Pro tip, I love to pair it with the laser resurfacing treatment like Clear Plus Brilliant to boost results. This has been Injectables 101 from Real Simple. Thanks for joining us today for the Women's Hour. My name is Kelly Pyle, and I am your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. I hope you enjoyed the stories in our program today, and I'll make plans to join us again next week for another entertaining collection of women's magazine articles. And don't forget, you can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device. I hope you have a great day, and be sure to stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.